We're in a short series of sermons that I have entitled, They Trusted God. And the propositional truth of this series of sermons is simply this: God is always at work moving us to trust Him. So let me say it again. God is always at work moving us to trust Him. We go back a few weeks as we began this series. The first sermon in this series centered on Abraham, and we learned from Abraham that we can trust God in a time of testing. So this morning, let's look at a second example from the Word of God, and let's see for ourselves how God works to move His people to trust Him. So we're in Exodus chapter 14 this morning, and our example is the people of Israel at the Red Sea. We need to understand the context of Exodus chapter 14. So the people of Israel have been slaves in Egypt for many, many years. Remember, they were in Egypt because God had brought them there to save them from a famine during the time of Jacob and Joseph. And God had raised Joseph up and put him into a place of authority, and both the people of Israel and the Egyptians, and actually people around them, were saved by the grace of God through Joseph. But the Egyptians soon forgot Joseph, and they enslaved the people of Israel. And for over 400 years, the people of Israel were slaves. And then, according to His purpose and according to His time, God raised up Moses to be His instrument in the deliverance of His people. And God then delivered His people, Israel, by His mighty power through 10 plagues that He brought upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And this brought Pharaoh and the Egyptians to a place of humility. And when God killed all of the firstborn of Egypt, the people of Israel were set free. And then God chooses an escape route from Egypt that bears in mind the weakness and the needs of the people of Israel. And so the main point as we move from chapter 13 into chapter 14 is that they are free, and God is leading them and God is protecting them. Look at Exodus 13. Verse 21, Exodus 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And so God is leading them and directing them, and they are trusting God. That brings us now to Exodus 14. Now remember that God is always working to move His people to trust Him. And from the people of Israel at the Red Sea, we will learn this morning that when we trust God, it greatly glorifies God. There are two questions from this text that we need to answer this morning. First of all, how does God move His people Israel to trust Him? And second, why does God move His people Israel to trust Him? So this morning, let's look now at Exodus chapter 14. Let's answer this first question: how? How does God move Israel, and how does God move us to trust Him? First of all, in this passage, I want you to see that God put Israel in an impossible place. Look at verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. Now we look at those verses, and first of all, we need to understand, as we look at these verses, that this is a change of course. This is a change of direction. Israel was traveling in one direction, in one way, when they left the nation of Egypt, and it was a pathway that God had commanded. It was a long way, a long journey to Canaan, and God had actually told them to go this specific way, which was the long way, but it was a protected way. It was an easier way for them to travel. Folks, it's estimated that over 2 million people of Israel were leaving Egypt. That's hard to put into our minds, but think about this huge number of people that are leaving Egypt. And so Israel is going now in this one direction, and then suddenly God changes it. He changes their direction. According to Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, the Lord spoke to Moses, and he was to tell Israel that they would turn and they would camp before a place called Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, and opposite a place called Baal Zephon. Now, the main point in this location is this: it's a terrible place. It's an extremely vulnerable position. If you have any common sense or any understanding of military tactics, you would say to Moses and you would say to the people of Israel, no, don't camp there. Don't stop there. You'll be trapped on one side by the Egyptian border cities and the watchtowers of the Egyptians, and on the other side will be the sea. Don't stop there. Don't camp there. You'll have no place to go. You'll have no place to run. This is not the place to be. The Egyptians will trap you and they will destroy you. But this is exactly where God wants them. And it's not for their destruction. It's for their faith and their trust in God. Now look at verses 3 and 4 because we're given insight into what God is doing. You see, God's not only working in the lives of the people of Israel, but God is also working in Pharaoh's heart. Verse 3 says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land the wilderness has closed them in. And then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And so Israel will be in a difficult, precarious, impossible situation, and that is exactly where God wants them. Now remember, folks, this is the Pharaoh who said in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, "Well, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? I do not know the Lord." And so God is not only working to liberate His people from slavery, but He is working to declare His glory among the Egyptians. And folks, what that means is that God has His sovereign purpose in placing Israel in this impossible situation. And God knows the purpose. And Moses knows the purpose. And yet I'm not sure that the people of Israel know what's happening, because they will be the ones who are trapped. And they will be the ones who will look around and say, there is no way out. And yet God wants them, the people of Israel, to trust Him. And so we step back and we let this word move through our minds, through our hearts this morning, and we could say there is a clear lesson here for us. And that lesson is simply this: that God will put us in the place where He wants us. God will put us in the situation where He wants us. And brothers and sisters, God can use all kinds of means to do that. He can use our own choices. He can use the decisions of others. He can use circumstances. He can use inanimate objects. God can use whatever God wants to put us in the place where God wants us to be. And what that means is that right now, right at this moment, you are exactly where God wants you to be. Now let that move through your thoughts. you're exactly where God wants you to be. And the place that you live and the job that you have and the family around you and the health and the finances and the success and the failure and the struggle and the suffering, it's all a part of God's plan. And God will put us in an impossible place so that we will not trust ourselves but trust God. And that's not all. How does God move Israel, and how does God move us to trust Him? Notice also in our passage that God gave Israel a powerful enemy. Look at verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And so he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. Now Pharaoh had freed the people of Israel from bondage. But folks, it did not come easy. You know the details. You've read this. You've studied this before. Pharaoh's nation and Pharaoh's gods were decimated by the power of Yahweh, the God of Israel. But Pharaoh's power and Pharaoh's heart were not broken completely before the Lord. And so according to God's plan, Pharaoh now changes his mind. And let's make sure that we understand this. Pharaoh makes a decision to pursue the people of Israel, but God is at work in his heart. God is hardening his heart. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, God says, "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them." Look at verse 8. "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel." Now, folks, get this. Think about this. 2 million slaves moving by foot will be pursued by one of the most powerful rulers on the face of the earth. Verse 7 says he took 600 choice chariots, all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. Verse 9 says, "So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them." You see, the Egyptians pursue the people of Israel, and they catch up with the people of Israel, and they come within sight of the camp of Israel near that place where God commanded them to be. And brothers and sisters, it looks like a total disaster for Israel. It looks like the perfect setup for the Egyptians. And yet God's plan is working out just as He said, just as He purposed. You see, God is working to move Israel to trust Him. God is working to show Pharaoh that God is really in charge. And how did Israel respond? Look at verse 10. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Folks, put yourself in Israel's place. They had followed the Lord through Moses, and it was not easy. Some of their following of the Lord was by kicking and screaming. Do you know what that means? That means they obeyed, but they didn't like it. And they fought against it, but they followed Moses. They followed the Lord. And now they look up and they see the dust of Pharaoh's army. And this is Pharaoh. This is the one who ruled them and controlled them. This is the one whose country who was laid waste and whose gods were brought to shame and whose firstborn were killed. And now he's coming for them. And now Israel falls apart in fear. They cry out to the Lord and Moses. Were there no graves in Egypt? In other words, were the graves in Egypt or the graves here in the wilderness better than the graves in Egypt? And if you think about it, folks, Egypt is full of graves. Huge monuments, which are graves. Was it not better for us to serve the Egyptians? And so God gave the people of Israel a powerful enemy. He gave them an impossible foe. And once again, this is the hand of God. This is the work of God. God had not only brought Israel to an impossible place, but now God brings to Israel an impossible enemy. What is God doing? You see, folks, He is removing every measure of self-confidence and pride from the people of Israel. Now, if you look out and you see 2 million people, and you look out and you see over 600,000 adult men, if you look out and you see the spoils and the plunder that was given to them by the Egyptians, then you could see how there was self-exaltation and pride even in the Israelites as they left the nation of Egypt. But God would take it all. God would remove it all. God brought this powerful king into their lives, and this king now pursues them to destroy them or to bring them back to slavery. And they are helpless. They are helpless in their own power to stop this man. But God is at work in the hearts of the Israelites and in the Egyptians. And brothers and sisters, what that means is this, that God will use people in your lives. God will use people in your lives. God will bring people into your lives that He will use to sanctify you. And they may be difficult people, and they may be mean people, they may be hard to get along with people, they may be powerful people, they may just be against you. But God will bring people into your lives to move you away from a trust in yourself to a trust in God. God will show you just how helpless you are and how desperately that you need God. And there's more. How does God move Israel, and how does God move us to trust Him? Notice in our passage, God will provide an amazing deliverance. Look at how God saves His people. There's a lot here, so I just want to touch on the main truths. First of all, I want you to see that God promises to fight for Israel. Look at verse 13. Think about this now. The people of Israel, they are full of fear. They are about to break and run from this situation that God has placed them in. Look at verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, to put this in our own words, Moses tells the people, don't you be afraid. Stand still. Don't run. See the salvation of the Lord. You don't have to worry about the Egyptians. The Lord will fight for you. So stand still and be quiet. Now, can you imagine that command when your back is against the sea and the Egyptian army and the chariots of Pharaoh are bearing down on you, and this is the command of God through Moses to them? You put that all together, and what Moses is saying to the people of Israel is this: God will fight for you. God is in this. He will fight for you. God will accomplish this for you. You must trust God. And how will God do it? Look at verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Now you got to stop here and have to appreciate this command, because God says, tell the people to go forward. Forward where? I mean, the Egyptians are coming in this direction. The Red Sea is back here, so they don't want to go to the Egyptians. So go forward. Go forward to the Red Sea. And yet that's what God told Moses. He says, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. In other words, God will do what is utterly impossible. Israel will escape where there is no escape. Israel will be delivered where there is no deliverance. And God will do it all. All of it. Notice then, second, that God protects Israel. Look at verse 19. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Folks, God will not only divide the sea, but He will protect His people during the crossing. This pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that had been leading them now moves to the back of the camp and is placed between the Egyptians and the Israelites. This, brothers and sisters, is a visible manifestation of God. God Himself will protect them. In today's language, God has their back. And He moves to the back and He protects them from the Egyptians. Now keep in mind, they are doing nothing. They're doing nothing but obeying the commands of God. You see, their obedience is trust. And let's not forget that in our own lives. Obedience is trust. And then notice third, that God delivers Israel. Look at the salvation of the Lord. Verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So Moses stretches out his hand, and the Lord sends an east wind. You see, the people of Israel are on the west bank of the Red Sea, and all night, for hours, they witness the power of God. The Egyptians are behind them. God is between them. And when the time comes, they go through the sea. They go through on dry land. Folks, everything in this passage is miraculous. Everything in this passage points to God and God's power. But it's not instantaneous. Israel must believe, and they must keep believing. As they stand and they watch, and the wind begins to divide the sea, and the Egyptians are behind them, and they see the power of God, and they believe, and they must keep believing. God put them at a point where there was literally nothing they could do to contribute to their salvation. They simply had to believe and go. And it's not over. According to His word, God would destroy the Egyptians. Look at verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and He troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." And so the Egyptians now are permitted to resume their pursuit, and they chase Israel into the dry ground of the sea, but God slows them. And we don't know how exactly. Verse 25 says that He took off their wheels. Another translation says that He bound their wheels, but whatever it was, they could not continue the chase. Then look at verse 26. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And then the waters returned, and they covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and not so much as one of them remained. God brought His judgment upon the Egyptians. And then the whole event is described or summarized in verse 30 and 31. Look at what it says. "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore, and thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." God saved Israel. And what was their response? They feared the Lord. They believed the Lord and His servant Moses. In other words, folks, they trusted God. Now, God doesn't have to divide the Red Sea in our lives. But please know, He can do it. He can do it. But God will do whatever it takes to move us away from a trust in ourselves to a trust in Him. I said in the beginning that there was a second question, so let me answer it quickly. Why? Why did God do this? Well, folks, the obvious answer is that Israel would be saved and delivered from their bondage in Egypt. That's the obvious answer. The obvious answer in our own lives is that God will save us from our sin, and God will sanctify us in holiness and move us to trust Him. But folks, these are not the only answers. As a matter of fact, these are not the big answer. Here's the big answer. Go back to verse 4. Exodus 14, 4. Go back there. This is God speaking, and He says, "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Look at verses 17 and 18. And again, God is speaking, "And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow them, so I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And then finally, turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul helps us understand all of these events in Exodus. Romans chapter 9, look at verse 17. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. "For the Scripture says to the Pharaoh," another way to say that, "for God says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." You see that, brothers and sisters? God did this mighty work for Israel so that all would know that He is the Lord. God showed His glory, and it produced a holy fear and a trust in God. And that, brothers and sisters, glorifies God. When we step back and we ask ourselves, what is God doing in my life? There are lots of reasons. We could name the reasons. We've touched on some today. But what God is doing in our lives right now, God is moving us to trust Him, to move away from a trust in ourselves and to trust Him. And when we trust Him, that greatly glorifies God. And it shows the world, and it shows everyone around us, that there is a God. There's only one God, and He is the Lord. And God uses all those things in our lives to show that. This glorifies God. God is always at work in our lives, moving us to trust Him. So what is God doing right now in your life? How are you responding to God? When we trust God, it brings great glory to God. Let's bow our heads.